Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 141. That is right, folks. First Heroes Asylum of February. Welcome to the Black History Month. We normally will do a show probably in further weeks. We're going to try to compile something for Black History Month to, you know, show our love for some of the... Is that you over there making noise?
Is that me? No, I was just adjusting my volume here. I wasn't trying to be rude. Sorry.
It's all right. So, folks, here we are once again. It's myself, Michael, and Jeff over there.
Hey, buddy.
I want to send a big thanks for a lot of our new listeners. We've got quite a few new listeners out there, so I want to say thank you guys for checking us out, finding us. We are here at Heroes Asylum for this weekly show. Also, we do a Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies where we do movie watch-alongs, movie reviews. And I've been sort of like mulling something over in my head, like to throw in, like, there's a couple few people I follow on TikTok, and one of them's been doing like the best like movie posters. And I thought, you know, that would be so much fun that we talk about movie posters or best soundtracks. Or, because, I mean, soundtracks are something you and I are constantly talking about.
Oh, yeah. Soundtracks, I'm with you there. Posters, I mean, for like a really good poster, you would have to go back.
But a lot
of the current ones are
I'm just throwing it out there. Just throw it in your head and let them all around a little bit. But he brings up some really good ones, especially if you check out the newest movie called Nope.
Oh, I haven't. Is it a poster?
It's a poster. Yeah, there's a poster for the movie called Nope. And basically, it's a small town looking. It's like you're on top of this valley looking down at the small town. And then just above, it's this little cloud with like what looks like this like robotic cable coming out of the cloud. So freaking cool looking. But he's just using those as examples. And I think with our love of movies, I think something like that would be kind of fun.
Ooh, that does look good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
it's a Jordan Peele. It's got to be a horror movie.
Yeah. Well, look at the title. Nope. but just kicking some ideas around. Sorry, guys. I sometimes find it the inappropriate times to throw ideas.
Steven Yeun's going to be in it. Of course, Daniel Kaluuya is going to be it. Of course, that's his buddy. So, of course. All right, I'll check that one out. 7/22/22. He should have released in 2/22/22/22, but, you know, whatever.
So yeah, we have some sad news, and actually this was one that sort of like slid by. I didn't hear it until just recently, but we had recently lost the voice actor for X-Men, voice actor Isaac Bar-David. That's what it is, Bar-David.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and Hugh took a picture together. I saw that on his Instagram. I thought he was just like honoring him, like, hey, he's still alive. But
that's an old picture he took, but this was... He posted it.
I didn't know. I didn't know. I thought he was still with us. I was like, oh shit! And I guess I didn't read the whole thing. I was like, oh, he just, you know, taking a picture with the guy who voiced him in the X-Men series. But no, you're right. Passed. I was like, oh shit! And that sucks. You know, RIP, and you know, thoughts and condolences to his family. That sucks. How old was he?
I think he was in his 90s, 91. He passed away on Tuesday. Yeah. So, but he's also not just known for doing the voice of Wolverine. He's also known for doing he had dubbed Freddy Krueger. He also did the voice of Skeletor on the He-Man Masters of the Universe, and he was Dr. Eggman in Sonic the Hedgehog. So but he's not just a one hit wonder. No, he's been around for a while and did some really great things, and you know, studying like the voice acting side of things lately that I've been doing. What he was able to do. Like I said, you had no idea those three voices were the same people.
No clue, and very different dialect sounds, especially Skeletor and Logan or Wolverine, whatever, and Dr. Robotnik. That's you can't find any three different ones than that trio right there. So
definitely. So yeah, so that he will be missed, especially with them redoing the new, you know, in Disney Plus, they're going to be restarting up the 90s X-Men. And that was a big, you know, like one of the big sellers for a lot of folks was a lot of that voice actors are, some of them are still alive. And especially Wolverine is such a big, you know, big part of that storyline. So yeah, it's very, he's definitely going to be missed in that relaunch.
Yeah, I don't think... Was he asked to come back for the relaunch?
I thought a lot of the original voice actors were asked.
Yeah, because I know Jubilee was coming back, and I know the one who did Rogue was coming back. I didn't know if he was. I didn't see his name. Maybe he did. I mean, I don't know. But that's going to suck to be without him. But, you know, there's a lot of talented voice guys out there, and hopefully they can, you know, take his place and do a good job.
Yeah, let's cross your fingers. Yeah. So I guess, I mean, everybody's talking about all over the internet. We're going to do spoilers, guys, for Book of Boba episode 6, which was the second to last. I was wrong, guys. I kept thinking there were 8 episodes. I kept saying there were 8, but yeah, no, that's, we've got one left after this. So next week is the last one.
It'll be a long one.
Yeah. Well, I don't think this is going to be a one and done. I think a lot of us originally thought, because I think there's a lot getting set up here.
There's too much that they set up in this episode. There's just no way you're going to be able to finish it next week. It's just impossible.
And this is something I guess I came to terms with watching this episode. These aren't individual shows. Filoni and Favreau aren't creating series. They're creating a universe right here. So they're all interconnected and intertwined. Because I know the big thing on the internet lately was, oh, are you going to have any of that Boba on your Boba show? He's only been out 1 episode, guys. All right. People are acting like, oh, he's you know, not on there at all. No, he's been on there every episode except for 1. And a lot of shows that does happen. The main character is not there for whatever reason.
Yeah, and they just write him out. Something like I said, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Sometimes it's a backdoor pilot, or sometimes you're just not there.
And this and this one was catching up on everybody. Which that's when I put in my head, I was like, these guys aren't writing a Book of Boba show. They're setting up their universe that they're going to be continuing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of characters they introduced in this. I mean, they reintroduced into one new one, which, we'll get there, which was I think we discussed them a couple times, but I think me and you both were like, nah, they're not going to do it. Maybe these two goofy looking, but, and he came in. I'm like, oh, okay, they're serious. and they got Filoni and Favreau out there with those guys, and did a great job. And I guess we should just go through the episode little by little, and just if you watched last week's episode, where Mandalorian said, "Hey man, I gotta go see a little friend of mine." That's where it kind of picks up, and we see him in his cool little Star Cruiser, which I'm sure he'll give it a name. Maybe Razor Crest 2. Not sure. But
It's not a Razor Crest. Razor Crest wasn't a name. Razor Crest was a series of ships.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It wasn't the name he just gave it. No, that was the Razor Crest series. So, yeah, he probably will come up with something cool. But, yeah, so we see him leaving, going to I forget. Did they mention the name?
No, I thought it was Ahch-To, but I don't think it's Ahch-To. I think it's something else. But they never mentioned the name of the planet or. I tell you what about Luke, man. He chooses very nice planets to build some stuff around. He doesn't choose deserts like we've seen in the Star Wars universe, where a lot of deserts, a lot of Tatooine. He chooses the nice, flourishing trees and fields and building of the Jedi Academy. So.
Yeah, in a very similar Jedi Academy, because we're watching it. Mando gets there, and we're watching it being built. And when you're watching it being built, if you do a direct comparison to the sequel trilogy, that's the same building that was on fire that we got, that we saw during Last Jedi. So,
yeah, I think that's the building that Kylo was sleeping in, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that was their tents or rooms. But I mean, it's definitely it was what we saw being burnt during the Last Jedi. Mm. So it was very interesting to see that. So we see him walking around with all the droids. We get to see R2-D2, which I thought was very cool. To have that recognition, and he has that moment of recognition with R2. Hey, buddy, how's it going? I'm here to see the little guy. And then of course we do see that moment with Grogu and Luke. Talking, as Luke's training him. So we know there's no other students right now. He's number one right now. He is it. Obviously, there's no Kylo. There's no none of that, because I don't even know if Kylo has been born yet at this point. I'm not sure on Kylo's birth year as to comparison to BBY.
Yeah, I don't think he has been born yet. I'm guessing, but you might want to look that one up. Or maybe he just was born. Who knows? Really depends.
So, but yeah, we definitely see Luke's there training. Kylo was born 5 APY, so after the Battle of Yavin. Okay. And so this would be, so he probably would maybe be like 1, maybe 2 years old.
Yeah.
because it, you know, it wasn't long after, you know, so yeah, definitely a baby at this point.
Yep, little kid. Still got years to go before he's, you know, tortures Luke. So hang on there, kids. Hang
and
on.
Then of course, so we see him talking, you see him training, and just having this great interaction with Grogu, you know, trying to get him to do a flip or, you know, use his mind. He even makes a comment. He starts talking about Yoda.
Yeah.
You know, he says, hey, you know, you remind me, let me tell you a story about, well, somebody that you remind me of, a really great friend of mine. You know, getting a little hit in the feels on that one.
Yeah, big hit in the feels. I want to know where he got a Yoda's lightsaber, though. But, hey, that's...
why wouldn't he?
I'm just wondering because they claim that lightsaber was lost. So I'm just wondering.
Well, like, Yoda lost one lightsaber at the battle at the end of Revenge of the Sith when he had the battle with Palpatine in the
yeah,
in the
that's
Senate.
The one.
Okay, so you're telling me Yoda never remade another lightsaber in the last 20 years?
Just kind of curious.
Because, don't be somebody that we know. Don't be just because you didn't see it happen doesn't mean he didn't. You know, something didn't happen. All right.
I don't know, like the last time I saw him, he was heading to Dagobah. I mean, did he construct a lightsaber there? Maybe,
did he maybe have a second one, a third one?
I don't know. Like that's, I'm just wondering.
So like, yeah. So to me, it's not like it's like all over the internet. Oh, where'd that go? It's not. Is that really that important to the conference or to the overall story? Or not, no, no, I'm not saying it to you. I'm saying it in general. Me. Yeah.
No. No, it's not. It's not. I'm just kind of wondering, where did he get it from?
Well,
okay. I guess he might have had it in his hut.
Yeah, he got exactly. He probably had it in his hut when he died. Luke took it.
So Luke fucking robbed it. He took his life. He's like, I'm taking this shit from you. Gave me all this shit, old man. Freaking hit me in the head saying I was impatient. I was too old to train. I'm taking your saber.
Nobody else is going to use it. It's a keepsake. Sorry. You're very bitter today, by the way. So, yeah. But, yeah, but later on, he will see the lightsaber come in. And then we see Ahsoka show up. Now, that's the one thing that kind of threw me off. I was like, wait, I thought everything that we were told of and kind of the backside was, you know, when she left Mando, she was off to go meet up with Sabine Wren and, you know, and go look after Ezra and, you know, because she was hardcore about where's your boss, you know?
Yeah.
Where's Thawne? Yeah, where's Thawne? And so then her being there just kind of like threw me off. I was like, okay, what is she there for? That's kind of an odd thing. She's just like hanging out. I mean,
just passing through, like, I don't know. Yeah.
The fact that, you know, she's there watching robots build a temple. Okay. That can be done without you being there. And I don't know. Yeah. It just seemed like it was almost like this really weird forced, like to have her in there.
Yeah. She didn't really need to be in there. Like I sort of read comments like, oh, why was she there? And like, and that's the one I kind of agree with. Like, yeah, she really didn't serve any kind of purpose other than, you know, what Luke could do. So, I mean,
well, I get that there needed to be a buffer between Luke and Grogu and Mando. I got that. Somebody needed to be there as a buffer. It could have been anybody else. It could have been a cool little Easter egg of somebody else. It could have been Kyle Katan just to have fun. Oh, you know.
Why not?
I don't know. To me, it just seemed kind of strange. Then we return back to Luke in them training, and you know, we see Luke and Grogu having the awesome reenactment from the montage, you know, training exercise montage from Empire.
Cool little. I like that. That was a cool little
throwback. What did you think of now long term seeing the CGI? What did you think?
First off, it was 1,000 times better than what we saw at the ending of season 2. It's like miles ahead. Because the big thing about when we saw Luke the last time, you know, it was kind of like dark and shadowy. This one was in the light. So you could see it. You could see the facial movements. And I was like, man, like that deepfake stuff has just gotten better. And one of the comments I wrote in like on the YouTube page, I was like, man, if I don't know if they will do it, but like a Luke Skywalker and Young Jedi Academy series, man, him training young Jedis, it'd be interesting. I mean, I'm not sure if they're going to go that way. I mean, you know, Sebastian Stan has always been rumored to go there. I mean, do they keep going doing the deepfake?
I don't think it was ever rumored. It was just fanboy.
Yeah, fanfiction.
Wasn't a true rumor. I think it's everybody going, oh, I'd love that. Just like there was one today, somebody posted that of, you know, Sebastian Stan doing that and Miley Bobby Brown being Princess Leia.
I haven't heard that one in a while, though.
Yeah. But it's
that one kind of died down. But the Sebastian Stan one has always been.
Yeah, it's always been. Again, it's just the fanboys going, oh, you know, we want to do, you know, we need to see this. I don't know. I think at the beginning it didn't look as good. The mouth movement just wasn't spot on either. You know, it still looked off when he was talking. It just looked weird when he was talking, and then like a little bit as maybe just my eyes, but as it went on, we got to see it change a little bit. So
it was done really well, especially in the light. That's what I'm saying. Like when we saw it last time, it was in the dark, and yeah, the mouth movement's a little odd, but I thought it was great. Maybe that's why they had Ahsoka there, because, you know, she could do most of the interaction and talking.
Possibly. That makes a little bit more sense on that. So then we see Ahsoka and Mando talking, and she's like, you know, kind of just, she's setting up boundaries. Now, to me, this is the moment I thought this would be cool to break away from, being a Legends fan. Luke broke away from the hard, stringent, you know, rules that they had for the Jedi Council. You know, in the Legends, so, you know, he was able to have a wife and things were a little bit more loose. And I thought this would be a good time for that to happen, but it's not. It looks like they're repeating again. And then I guess in a way, this is what, you know, going to explain the sequels as to why did Luke break away, because he felt the Jedis were repeating and he was repeating.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was like, man, this is really a great time, because then she's, you know, because she is like that anchor to the past. Really, when you look at it, he could have gone off, but she's there going, well, no, that's not how we were trained. This isn't how we were trained. And I think she was a little bit more too involved. There's a TikToker I follow. She's amazing. She used to do for the last year, she would have conversations of Luke meeting or having Luke and Leia meet Ahsoka. And she would just have these fangirl conversations and like do this like fan fiction back and forth. Oh, your dad did this. What? He did who? What? And the second I saw Ahsoka and Luke sitting there talking to each other, I went right back to that girl. And I was like, my God, like her like fantasies are like right there coming true. Everything she like showed. And, you know, of course, we get that one moment. Oh, you're just like your dad. And
oh, that
another hit in the gut.
That was the line right there. When she said that, I was like, oh, he's like, you're just like your father was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because she knew Anakin. You know, if you watch Clone Wars and all that stuff, that was her buddy. That was her best friend. That was her master, her teacher. They had a deep connection. So just seeing her with Anakin's son, yeah, it hits you, especially like a deep Star Wars sweaty like we are. That hit the feels. That was a good one.
Because that was something I know all of us were like, you know, we go, okay, she's still alive. She's still out there. Will they ever meet, you know? Mm-hmm. And finally we see that, yes, that they do meet and that he does know of other Jedis out there. Granted, she's no longer part of it, you know, because of everything that happened during Clone Wars, but she knows the teachings and she still follows the Force and the teachings of the Force, but not the dogmatic practices of the Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, sadly, like just to go back on that thing you just said, it's because in the Legends novels, he had a wife, Mara Jade and all that stuff. He broke away from, he was the different one. He was like, that he was the one that was going to lead the Force into the future. And to see him going down the same stringent path again, it's just like, but it's like you said, they're going to explain those, the sequel trilogies with this. So I just have to accept it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah. This is one area that I think a lot of hardcore anti-sequel fans were looking at going, the Filoni and Favreau regime are going to, you know, wipe out and recon the sequels. They're part of this. That you got to realize that this is
a prequel.
What they can do is not recon the main story of the main three folks. So that story has already been written. The Skywalker trilogy and sagas, that's been written. But what they can do in turn is add color and texture and quality to the things that are around them. Mm-hmm. The Grogu's, the Mandalorians, the Bobas, the Ahsoka's, they can add and bring in Ezra, and they can build this world around this very boring series of movies that, you know.
Yeah, let's admit it. They're boring.
It's not that it's boring. It's boring. The Skywalker saga became very boring to me.
Because they did nothing new. That's they added a girl. Okay, that's cool. But like nothing else. And it was like, oh, wait a minute. You're the Emperor's granddaughter. Like, what?
Yeah.
What up? To jump on what you were saying about adding color to something, I think that's what Clone Wars did for me, because the prequels I hated, but when I watched Clone Wars, it added like that world and it made the prequels better.
Right.
And I can watch those now and not be like a shithead. I mean, if you listen to our archives,
no,
in that movie.
No, you can't. You're still a shithead.
Sorry. Oh, but if you check out our archives, I was a very bitter watching those movies with Mike, I was like, oh, you know, there's too many things meeting going on and like all that. And I think we referenced Clone Wars so many times when we were doing those watch alongs that I really didn't put it two to two together. Like, wait a minute. I love Clone Wars. I hate the prequels, but Clone Wars made the prequels better. It's like, oh, okay.
I hate to make the quote, but I'll quote Mary Poppins. The Clone Wars is the sugar that makes the medicine go down a little bit better. You know, it helps you swallow the prequels. And the same thing will go for the sequels. I think that this is, they're not going to recon it. They're just going to build storylines. And honestly, a few of the characters that people were like, oh, who the hell is this? I would love, and I wouldn't put it past them, having a Hodo moment where we actually see that the story behind her. And then when we see her make that sacrifice,
it adds weight to it.
Yeah, there's more weight to it. So I think that's what we're going to kind of see. And that's the whole beauty of, and that's really if all the hardcore sweaties out there and the very, you know, negative Star Wars fans bases that are out there, they have to forget that's what the Legends did for us.
Yeah.
You know, you had the three movies and that was it, but it was the Legends that colored it out and made those stories so much better and beautiful. You know, because then you could go back and go, oh, I read the Thrawn trilogy and Luke did this and this and this. And then it made you go back to the, you know, to the first three and going, well, that sort of set up this. And it just kind of ties the worlds together. And I just think that's, you know, that's what we're going to get here. And the one thing I will say, we're going to finish talking about it. But right now I can tell you one thing. The Book of Boba right now is letting me down in one factor and one factor only. The story. The overarching story is so sporadic and non-linear. You know, it jumped around so much. It's like I love everything it's the weirdest thing is I love everything that they've given me in Book of Boba except the storyline. The storyline is very weak, but everything that they've peppered into it, the cameos, the backstories, the reconnections, the going back and seeing old characters – I love everything. The introduction of old characters. I'm loving every minute of that. I love that part of Boba more than I ever loved Mandalorian. Mandalorian's storytelling.
It's better.
Was better. There was a story to it. There hasn't been a story yet. And I understand the story's not done. And I'm always the first one to say, when you're looking at a trilogy or looking at a show, let the story end and then you can see. Because I've read so many books like to where I'm like, man, I want to throw this thing out the window. But when I get to the end, I see what the author did. I was like, oh, got it. Now I understand why I had to deal with that crap at the beginning because there was a meaning to it. So we'll see. We'll see next week. My tune might change. But right now, it's a very weak story.
I could have done without the flashbacks, to be honest. Like if they would have just started where he met Fennec.
No, you wouldn't have been happy. You of all people need to know how did he get out.
I could have maybe just that. Just give me that. But
then after that, how did he get out and then how did he survive? Yeah, there's too many what ifs. No, what they did was right, but it was just a story. Just doesn't seem to be much growth.
The whole Tusken Raider thing, I could have done with that.
That could have literally been a show on its own, to be honest. I mean, I think they could have done a Tusken Raider show, you know, had a pre-Boba show, you know, and set up that and had that more. That could have been like season one, you know. I think that's probably what it is. They are rushing it in my head. Then I think that's what it is. I think they're trying to cram so much into this one, they're missing out on a lot. You know, the introduction. I know that you're not a fan of the mods, but the introduction of the mods was so quick, and then bam, they were there. It would have been better to understand who these mods are. I don't know any of their names. Nope. I have to give two craps about these people. All right, I think if they would have spent more time on the mods, introduced them, explained who they were. What kind of maybe give each one a tiny backstory. We don't need to have, you know, from birth to now. We don't need to do a, you know, David Copperfield. We don't need that. We just need a real quick, hey, you know, well, I grew up here, did this and that. Something to make me care about these characters. Right now, I care zero about any of them except for Fennec, Boba, and now, you know, Mando's there.
Fennec has a story. Yeah. We follow Fennec, you know, through Mandalorian, and now I'm like, she probably has like the best story going forward.
Yeah. Like, and even Black Chrysanthemum, I should care about him, but I really don't. Badass, just don't give two
badass. Yeah. Okay, but the thing about it is, I'll forgive that because he is a complete badass.
Though. Yeah, he's a badass. He's a black Wookiee. Come on, I mean, he ripped off a Trandoshan arm.
He's a cool name, dude. The Black Khazarian, dude. Come on, BK, dude. That is a badass.
But like I said, do you care anything further than that?
No. I just care he's a badass.
Yeah, like, I think they could have. Yeah, if they would have stretched this out two seasons, I think it would have been much better.
They're throwing a lot in there right now, and I get it. It's like, hey, who's who shows up and he shows up and they shows up. Yeah, there's a lot.
Well, again, and so here we go. I mean, we go back finally. You know, Mando, you know, gifts gift to for Grogu to Ahsoka, and then she's like, you know, you got to have a choice. He's got to make his decision. You holding him back, and he understands that. That's something I'll give Mando. He understands I can't be in this kid's way. I'm not his family. I care about him. I care about what happens.
I really think what you told me off screen is going to happen, though. Thinking about it for a couple days, when we were texting, I was like, you know what? I got a feeling that's going to happen. I just got this weird feeling.
We'll get to that. We're not there yet. That happens at the end of the show. Okay. So Mando goes back. Or no, that does happen, right? I think just after he leaves, Luke presents him with the gifts. He presents him with the gift from Mando, which is basically like you and I talked about. It was chainmail. The Beskar chainmail, and then, of course, he produces Yoda's little itty-bitty lightsaber. And he offers him the decision, you know, which route you can go back. You can take your chainmail armor and go back to your friend and live that life. Or you can join me on this journey, this new journey that you can follow.
He painted a very bleak picture, too, which I'm glad he did it, because you could show that Luke is truly a master now. Because he knows that race so well. He's like, look, you know, when he's like, he gets older, you age slower. So you're going to watch him get old. And he's explaining that to him. So you can stay with him, but you're going to watch this guy die.
Yeah.
So just make sure you choose the right choice, which you think for you. But just remember that you age a lot slower.
Yeah. So it's one of those. So it's, and of course, that's where we left. And I think that's where I think that was the perfect stop off. We're not going to see Luke or Grogu, you know, for the rest of the season, and we're probably not going to see them until, you know, first episode of Mando, where we see Grogu make the decision. My hope is he sticks out and becomes a Jedi, and, you know, gets his training done, and then eventually we see that Luke does have to step in and help him out. I think this was my theory, if I remember correctly, where like Luke.
No, your theory was he's basically going to take the chainmail. But then Luke later on meets him up and sees that how well they bond. He's like, here, take
it. No, that wasn't my theory. No, I never said the chain mail. Never. You must have been talking to somebody else. Oh, I always said lightsaber. He goes through the path of the Jedi, and because of the things he's done in the training, and then Luke has to go and help Mando, and he comes with him, and that's he then gives him
the chain mail.
Yeah, it's okay. The other way around. Yeah, I think he needs to go the route of becoming the Jedi, because... Yes, it'll be fun and everything to have, you know, Mando out there with Grogu doing their thing together. But I think it's more important that he understands his gift. I understand he's a 50-year-old, you know, child, but to understand it more, because we do finally see that scene where he is in the temple during the Order 66.
Which is a great scene, and there's a line of dialogue between him and Ahsoka, and he's like, I don't know. He's like, how's the training going? He's like, I don't know how much training I'm really doing. It's more like he's just remembering everything. Remembering stuff that he already knew.
Yeah.
So, you know, so how much training does he really need? Maybe that's the question.
Well, we'll see. I mean, again, he was barely walking, I think, the way it was going. So then after that, we go back to Tatooine, where you see Mando and Fennec and Boba and Krisanne. We see all everybody that's been gathered in the A-team, you know, or the Ocean's 11, whatever you want to call them, has gathered. They're knocking out a plan. They're creating a plan to do. And Boba's like, we still need a little bit more muscle. And that's when we start, we see Mando go out to, what was it, Moss? Can't remember
Moss,
the name,
Moss
Vespa or something like that. But then we come to Pelgo. That's what it was.
Pelgo.
Pelgo.
Good. What is it? The bartender called it Good Town.
Freetown. We're Freetown now. Yeah.
I said Good Time Town.
And of course, we get to see Cobb Vanth again, which I thought was great to see him. I love his actor, the character that he
all does. Basically, he's playing the same character he did in Justify. But I know I'm cool with it. I don't care. I love that character, Justified. One of the best characters on TV. Have you ever seen
Justified? Well, that's why one of the articles I read, they're like, Mando went and met up with Deputy Marshal Raylan Givens. I mean,
I don't care. If it's Raylan Givens in space, dude, I'm in. You're a big Justified fan, so you know how much I love that show, and he's fantastic in it. If it's Well, I give it some space, dude. I am on board, so I don't care. So screw you, internet.
So we see them talking, and, you know, he's talking to them about, hey, you know what, that we need your help. The Pike Syndicate is coming in here. We're going to need everybody's help. They're, just because you're out here doing your own thing, don't think that they're not going to come out here and mess with you. And we saw an earlier clip where the deputy had to chase away some spice runners and, you know, blew that stuff up, you know, knocked the spice off to the side.
Can I ask you a question? Sure. I don't cut you off, but I'm not too fit. Like, we've heard about the spice so much in Star Wars. Yeah. That I have never seen the function of the spice. Like, what does it do? Do you snort it? Do you inject it? Like,
I think it's a mix. I think it's a mix. I think it's like very similar to, you know, like drugs we have now. There are different ways of taking drugs. So, yeah.
Because there was a line mentioned by one of the Pikes. It was like, hey, man, this is worth more than your entire town. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so obviously this thing is worth something, but yeah. I've never seen a function.
Or you're never going to see the function of
it. I know.
Lucas is not going to tell you how to do your spice, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying I want to see somebody snort an entire line of spice, but I'm just wondering, like, what's the function of it? Like, do you get really high? Is it hallucinogenic? I mean, like, I'm just curious. That's all. I mean, I don't need to explain. I just want to know, man. I don't know.
You just said I don't need to explain it, but I want to know. So you do want to know what it is and what it does, but they're not going to. It's just a Disney property. The fact that they even reference spice right now really surprised me. Yes, it is one of the big profits in the galaxy. I mean, even if you look back, it's Solo. Solo, they went to the spice mines of Kessel. To break out all the droids. So, I mean, we see that there is a market for it. We understand the syndicates, all the syndicates. That's one of their big things that they push.
Spice. I wonder if it's the same spice from Dune.
It is, man. Just there's a whole world out there of it. They don't know.
I'm just saying.
So Mando meets up with him and discusses it with him. And, you know, he's like, him and the bartender are like, no, man, we're not gonna do this. Now, did you notice something that was sitting in the background before all the hoopla came down as Mando was leaving? Did you not see there actually had Tusken Raiders in the camp, in the town. What's the thing that they ride?
The crate dragon. They beat the crate dragon, right?
Yeah, but you saw like the Banthas in the background, you saw a couple of sand people in the background. So I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, okay, they're referencing that they are still having that relationship. And so as Mando takes off and leaves, we see the deputy kind of look across the desert, and we see a single figure. And I know my mind popped. I knew exactly who it was. I know yours did.
I saw the silhouette of the hat, I was like,
yeah, the coat and the hat just instantly told me Clint Eastwood. I mean, Cad Bane was coming.
You should have your Funko Pop right now. But, dude, when I saw that, yeah, when like the slow walk, it reminded me of some of those spaghetti Clint Eastwood Westerns. Yeah, he's going to get it right now because I love that Funko that Mike has. But
well, that's not a Funko Pop.
Or you got the figure, right?
No.
Yeah, that's a dope. Look at that.
That's a bank. Ooh. That's a bank.
It's a bank?
It's a piggy bank. Yeah, that's a piggy bank.
Guys, you can't see it, but Mike has like a piggy bank of Cad Bane right now. And it's like one of the things that I just lust for because it looks
with
so
different. With the big brim hat.
The hat was too small, you think?
Too small. Yeah, that was, again, I see this thing every day. This is on my bookshelf. I walk by this thing probably 10 times a day. So in my head, Cad Bane has a big brimmed hat. I do know he lost his hat during one of the Clone War episodes, and then he had to get another one. I think it was the one where Obi-Wan was disguised as another prisoner, and they all broke out of jail together.
But what was that episode he had in the Clone Wars? It was like I think it was a 3 or 4-parter where he like kidnapped. I think he kidnapped. Was it? Did he kidnap some of the members of the council? And was holding them hostage or something? I believe so.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Like I said, I just remember
it's been
that.
It's been a while. But
But yeah, that one where, you know, we see so Cad Bane does show up. Cad Bane and Boba do have a history together. It is sort of canon, but the dimple that Boba has on his helmet was from Cad Bane. It was from a lost episode of season 7 that they decided not to produce, but there's the animatics of it is still out there.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's out there.
Yeah. And you can see where Bane gave him the dimple. So I'm hoping that they kind of reference that, even though it wasn't seen, But I would love for Cad to, like, him and Boba to meet up and Boba make it and Cad make a comment. Never fix that dent, did you?
I mean, yeah, so that'd be so dope. You know, guys, if you haven't seen the scene, check it on YouTube. I don't want to spoil it, but it's a really cool moment of a young Boba Fett meeting Cad Bane. Yeah. So check it out.
Did I just send that to you, or did I post that on Facebook?
I think you posted on Facebook.
Okay, check our Facebook page, guys. Yeah, because it'll be there. But so yeah, we definitely get a chance to see one of my favorite bounty hunters. Yes, Boba was always the biggest bounty hunter for a lot of folks. Cad Bane, hands down, was always my favorite. I'm still hunting for that Funko Pop you're talking about because I cannot find it under $50. Yeah, it's an expensive Funko Pop because he is such an amazing character and such a badass. But yeah, we get to see him. His coloring was a little weird. I know there's somebody out there like recolored him and changed up his tint a little bit, made him a little bit darker. But again, we're also talking about nearly, 15, 20 years since the last time we actually saw Cad Bane. I think the last time we saw him was in Bad Batch.
Bad Batch, that's right.
And that was, 19 years before death, before New Hope. So yeah, you're talking, at least 20, 25 years since we've seen Cad Bane. So I'm sure he's aged and discolored, but it's him. And I was amazed. And the same voice actor. They brought back the same voice actor, which I was so happy to see.
That's a very Peter Cullen thing when they brought Peter Cullen back to be Optimus Prime in the movies. I love that fact. They actually kept that canon and keep the original voice because you cannot, you can find somebody similar, but
there's just something special about it.
Something special about that Cad Bane voice, man. He has that nice Southern, not Southern draw, but he has like a little draw.
It's a bit of a Southern, but it's got that growl. But the fact that he makes the comment, Tatooine belongs to the Syndicate. As long as the spice keeps flowing, everyone will be left alone. And he gets asked by the deputy. He's like, "Who are you?" He never answers.
Never says
his name, which I thought was even better.
Yeah, because the audience knew. If you were sweaty, if you don't know, some of them had to go online. But
there are so many people. Like I said, I'm somewhat of a big TikTok follower, and there are a lot of Star Wars folks I follow, and I lost a tad bit of credit for them because they're like, "I had no idea who this person was." I'm like, "What?"
They're deleted.
I was like,
except for you guys who love the page, by the way, here's a sign on Facebook. But if you didn't know who that was, shame on you.
Yeah.
Shame.
But again, there are those hardcore sweaties. I mean, we do have a friend that, we broke him down. Took a long time
to break him down.
But we did break him down to finally, start enjoying and checking out, the Clone Wars and seeing those characters. And it was a phone app that, got him to do it. So.
Hey, whatever got him there.
So then, of course, we see very unfortunate that we see Cad Bane take out Cobb Vanth, which I thought was just a waste of character. But I guess that's going to give the people.
But I read somewhere that he's not dead; that he's got shot in the arm. The deputy.
Okay. It looked like he got dead. I thought it looked like he.
Yeah,
got
because
shot.
Somebody went out there and attended him. The shot. If you look at it, he shot him in the arm. I guess it's a warning shot, but he killed the deputy's dead. But that's what we know.
Deputy's dead. Yeah, but. Honestly, I paused for a second on the deputy. I thought that was Scott Summers from X-Men.
Marsden?
Yeah, that's who I thought it was at first. When you look at his, go back and watch it. It looks like looks very similar to James Marsden.
I'll check that out.
So we see that. So this is going to be that's the rallying cry right there for the town to get together. So now we already see that coming along. So we know Boba's going to have his army, and again they're going to have to do something big in one episode, or cliffhang it. I mean, really, and I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind a cliffhanger.
Neither would I. There's too much to wrap up. I don't want to rush it either. I mean, or do end it here and then
pick
beginning
it up in
of season three of Mando.
Yeah,
maybe?
Pick it up in Mando and let Mando wrap it up and just call it fair. Yeah, you know what? I took two of your episodes. You take two of mine. We're fair, and I wouldn't
mind that either. Either way works for me. Cliffhanger or just let's season three of Mando, which hopefully comes out this year. Hopefully.
It's geared towards it, and I think that's honestly one reason why they did sort of sprinkle him in on this season, because there was such an outcry. We would literally be gone, going 2 years without a Mando show.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So, but again, everything they did on this episode, I was so happy about. So many little Easter eggs, reintroduction to one of my favorite villains of all times, non-Force using villain, and I was so happy. But again, I just feel the story is lacking. But we're waiting for that final chapter of this one and see where they go. And that's all I'm waiting for right now.
You forgot about the one scene before we got off the subject when the Pikes went into the cantina with the very Godfather moment, and they just left.
Yes.
Oh, man. Poor Max Rebo. Rest in peace. And Flashdance all gone at once.
Max ain't dead, man. Come on.
He didn't do. Come on. He's dead.
He survived the barge exploding. Do you honestly think that tough son of a bitch could handle that? Come on, man. He's an old school cantina player, right, man? He knows
the drill. Maybe he saw the bomb. He's like, yep, I know where this is going.
Just like that piano player that's in every Western. He knows when shit's about ready to go down in the cantina, all right? He closed the piano up and walked out. Hell yeah. He ain't dead. Max is the champ. He is around forever.
There's a shirt out there that says Max Rebo forever. I want to get it. But yeah, great episode. And I cannot wait till Wednesday to see how it all wraps up. Hopefully it wraps up, or, you know, cliffhanger, and keep it going. Either way, I don't care.
So a couple like little things we can just like brush over. Of course, I'm sure you want to talk about your favorite show right now. Or have you watched it yet?
I watched it.
Do you like it?
Loved it.
Still enjoying it?
Yes. Freaking love it. Sorry.
So tell me the what's creepier, her grin or the whole police station's grin?
The police station's grin. When they're walking down, dude, oh, hands down. Her grin I could deal with, but one, like, especially the one prisoner who's like smiling like this. I mean,
full,
you guys
get full on Joker smile. Yeah.
Yeah, like this Joker lit. I'm like, what the hell? And like the horror of how those butterflies get into you.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
I kept thinking of was it Romeo and Juliet that Gunn did years and years ago. It was one of his first films.
Oh yeah,
very graphic. I kept thinking Slither. A lot of those vibes on there too, and that monster song by Reckless Love, freaking in my head. I was actually, before you signed on, I was listening to some Reckless Love. I freaking love that band, and they have a couple good songs out there. Check it out. James Gunn, chef's kiss when it comes to soundtracks, man. That guy can do no wrong. I think whenever we do our list for soundtracks, James Gunn is going to be up there a couple times.
Yeah, I think I posted online. I was like, leave it to the decadent 80s to make a perfect soundtrack to the to a douchebag Captain America.
And the way it ended, too, with him playing Home Sweet Home on the piano? Come on,
did
man.
Did you see the video I sent you?
Yes.
That was actually John Cena playing that piano part, which I thought was really cool.
It just adds to the character, him and Vigilante. I mean, the way, dude, eagerly plucking people's eyeballs out. Like, oh, God, yeah. Eagle's hardcore, dude. And even Vigilante, he's like, you're being that Eagle's hardcore, bro. Like, yeah, dude, yeah. Just the whole thing with Clemson and him, like, saying, hey, man, I just want to come here. Like, there's, like, these revelant other butterflies that want to take over the world, which is, you know, okay, it's paint by numbers. It's fine, but... Still, his character, I love, like, when he's explaining stuff. Like, the explaino stuff in this series, I like, because it's just quick, and it's quick-witted, and the dialogue is quick-witted, and the jokes always hit. So, even, like, when they mentioned Waller, you can't trust Waller, and, you know, that's, I guess they don't know that Waller's her mom.
Yeah, I don't think so
either. I would assume. So, there's a lot of stuff going on, and to me, like I said last week, with Ryan Reynolds, he should always play Deadpool forever. John Cena, whenever he has the opportunity to play Peacemaker, if it's your season 2 or 3 or 4, and if they make another Suicide Squad, this is the one character you play for the rest of your life, dude.
Yeah, he's made it his own.
He made it his own. Yes, James Bond and his writing, but...
And I'm sorry, everything... The whole opening scene with him in the classroom was pure gold.
My
that
God.
Shows you what kind of actor Cena is. Yes, he's a wrestler. Yes, they've got that ability to do those great promos and everything. And it's literally, that's what he did. He ripped a promo on a school, on a classroom, dude. And it was just
ripping apart the kids in the class. Hey, Rubik's Cube. Hey, 1990 Harry Potter. Like, he's just going. He's like, hey, Utterling for the Flash. And the one kid is like, I think you might be my dad. He's like, what?
Yeah. Do you know Debbie so-and-so? Yeah, I know Debbie so-and-so.
Yeah, you might be my father. I paused it because I'm watching this, like, with my new schedule. I have a weird time sleeping now, so I'm literally watching this when I got home at 7:30 in the morning. I'm like, what the hell?
Am I really tired, or did he just say that?
That's what I thought. I thought I was like, man, I'm exhausted. Like, I'm going to pass out. But I had to rewind it. Like, oh, my God, he did say that. That classroom scene alone. Yeah. Dude. So it was
just, after that, I was like, I don't care what else I do this episode. That was just pure gold. And it just shows you more and more the type of person he is. You know, the more you see him interact with the normal public, like, he has no filter, has no idea what to do, you know, in those situations. And then, of course, we find out his dad gets out, and then his dad finally puts on the White Knight
uniform. Dude, that was it's very freakishly scary too. I mean, we live in the South, so this is what used to be. I think it still is a common thing out here, sadly.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not about the South. It's this country right now.
This
show right now is so powder keg charge. It's not even funny. Like, I'm giving James Gunn is doing a great part on writing it and developing these characters, but the story that he is telling, it's just so spot on for right now.
Yeah,
it is. And and again, for any of us, and I was that way for a couple of shows and a couple of characters. We don't want a comic book accurate thing, but you know what? Somehow the White Knight comic book accurate costume works.
Isn't it strange?
Some fucking way that goofy looking fucking costume.
They made it dope.
It didn't make shit. They just redesigned or put it right out there. I'm like,
that's it. Same thing. And the moment where they're putting where they have his underlings is putting the suit on him, like he's almost like this cultish leader, which he is. I don't know too much about the White Dragon, but it was like just freakishly, just like, wow, okay. And he got exactly what he wanted when his boy picked him up from prison. He's like, yeah, you know, what do you want to do? He's like, well, first thing I want to do is I'm going to find a chick to suck my, you know, my D. And then I want to go kill my son. I'm like, okay. Yep. So, yeah, it's to me, somehow this series just keeps getting better and better.
Okay, I just
the music keeps getting better and better. And I think we have one more episode after the next one next week. And then
got two left. Yeah. So, yeah, but it's
which. It makes me angry because, man, because I keep thinking network TV. You have 22 episodes, but with this,
you're the big one about. You like the small episodes, but I'm like,
I do. But the thing about it is now I'm changing my tune because it makes me mad. Like, man, I want more now. I want more. I want like even the Daredevil stuff was 13 episodes and the Punisher. I can deal with that.
Pretty much right now, HBO and Disney Plus are just sticking to 8 episodes. And actually, even Prime, I think Prime, The Expanse, where it was usually hitting around 8 to 9 episodes. The last season was 6. Vox Machina, or whatever that's called, the new animated one on Prime. Fucking awesome. You guys got to check that shit out. That is
Wheel of Time was 8, right?
Wheel of Time was 8. But no, dude, you got to check that Vox Machina one out, dude. It's Wheel of Time-esque, but it's just so fucking nuts how it's done. The drawings are great. The characters are just, they're your typical D&D characters. You have your magicians, you have your bard. The bard is a pimp he's a beast. He's a little dwarf bard, but he just rocks out and just does these great jams. He's even got one song about sucking his D. So, I mean, it's great.
Well, now.
Yeah, no, you have to check that out, dude. It is so much fun. I was like, what is this? Okay, I've seen some of them. I've seen, like, I was thinking it was going to be like the Dragon Prince that they had on Netflix, where, you know, which I liked the Dragon Prince. I thought it was a fun animated one. But this one, definitely not kid-oriented. Way not kid-oriented. But it's just really, really fun to watch. But, a lot of them are sticking to, like, the 8s. I don't think, you know, Netflix is doing the 13s anymore either.
Yeah, which is kind of unfortunate, but I have to just deal with it, I guess. Yeah. Well, a lot of these shows are being produced are very expensive, like the Marvels and Star Wars. They're not cheap. So, I mean, that's one thing I have to take in mind. Like, look, you're getting like an 8-hour Star Wars story instead of a 2-hour. I'm like, true.
We got to not be so greedy. But again, that was always my big thing. Yes, the 22, 24 episode seasons were extremely long, but you got a chance to let those characters grow. You and I have talked about it. I couldn't tell you how many times. The Supernaturals. My favorite Supernatural shows are the fucking growth ones. It had nothing to do with any of their arcs, the devil or Michael or anything. It was, you know, them having to deal with Loki one time, you know, or the musical, or, you know, him talking to dogs. It had nothing to do with, but it was a growth.
The dog one was hysterical, dude.
But they were growth episodes where it had nothing to do with the main storyline, but it had everything to do about the character and letting that character grow. We don't get that chance anymore. We get the story arc, and that's it. It's very similar, like what a lot of folks are saying is, you know, they were saying like Gen X and Gen Zs, and millennials, or not Gen Xs, but millennials and Gen Zs, you know, very short-term in their attention span, which I don't think is right, but for some reason, the world thinks that, and so now everything is shorter. You know, that was something they did in wrestling. They were trying to make things quicker and, you know, more changes thing and happening because people's attention span wasn't as long. I don't think that was it, but I, yeah, but that's what they're going for. So,
quick stories, like backstory, it's going to happen in 5 minutes. So, unless you do the Incredible Hulk, you know, that backstory, which was done masterfully. Have you ever watched that film with Edward Norton? Does the intro and literally 2 minutes in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. That's, so question for you. Did you see the news about Legends of Tomorrow, the season 7? They're adding scrub star Donald Faison.
Donald Faison.
In a mystery role, and some are thinking it's Booster Gold. What do you think?
Which I think would be perfect for Donald Faison.
Yes. Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, got it. Love it.
If you ever seen Scrubs and you watched him with his relationship with Zach Braff, he's basically Booster Gold. That's and basically Zach was Blue Beetle. He was Ted Kord. I always thought that like somebody had a meme on there for the longest time. It was Ted Kord and Booster Gold there. Like it really was. And if the rumors are true and they're finally gonna bring in Booster Gold and it's Faison,
yeah.
What a better show to intro him than the Legends, because Legends has always been that wacky, nuts, no storyline. We don't know what the hell we're doing, time traveling weirdos, and what better show to have him on there?
They have literally been the Seinfeld of the DC.
They are.
What's the show about? Nothing. That's nothing. Really nothing.
For almost 8 seasons, like, and you were like, I think season 1 had a story arc with Vandal Savage, but that's been about it. They had another season with the Legion of Doom, which was kind of cool. They showed the Dome, but yes, really, they don't have any storylines. It just, you know, they fuck up time. They mess it up. They got
to
fix it.
And what better person to have on your team fucking up time than Booster Gold?
Gold. The king of just going back, and I hope it's true. But I hope they don't do like a swerver. It's not really him. It's somebody else. It's like a cameraman from DC. That's a deep cut. You know what cameraman is, but
I'm surprised you didn't throw Condiment Man out there or something.
No, Condiment Man has been thrown out a lot lately, especially with Harley Quinn and that adventure. He's out there.
Oh, and did you see in Peacemaker? We were just talking about Peacemaker. You see that they doubled down on Kite Man and said that Peacemaker took Kite Man out.
I wonder. Like the kid said it. Like
we probably won't, because he said he took him out. So I don't know if that means. Peacemaker's known for killing motherfuckers.
Do you think maybe? I mean, it's not gonna happen. But like a wild idea, the ending of season 1, you see like Kite Man being released from prison or something. He's gonna go after revenge. Come on, that would be. Yeah, that's not beyond James Gunn though.
No, it's not. No,
I could see that happening. Like Kite Man's angry. He gets like electronic kites or something. I don't know. It's ridiculous, but it's James Gunn, and I'm all for it. But hopefully, Faison is Mr. Booster Gold. That's
yeah. That looked like a lot of fun. What'd you think about the casting rumors? And actually, it's not so much rumors right now. It looks like it's going to be a definite thing. But casting for Madam Web, Dakota Johnson, have to play.
I think I was texting you a couple of times. I was watching the old Spider-Man animated series from the 90s, just rewatching it again. And the series ends with Madam Web, and Madam Web is basically like a conduit for the Beyonder, saying, hey, there's this big battle coming, and I'm going to gather all the Spider-Men together. And if you watch that, they battle against Spider-Carnage. She's like the ultimate evil, blah, blah, blah. To me, Madam Web has always been that, like, you know, elderly, kind of like wisdom-esque type character, aiding characters, like, hey, you got to do this, do that. Having Dakota on there as Madam Web is interesting, because I don't know what route they're going to go, but they must have a story in place. That's why I'm not going to bitch at it. And they have an idea. You have the multiverse out there. So why not? I mean, maybe the Beyonder shows up and David Hasselhoff is the Beyonder. That's my goal, but I'm not going to hate it. I know you just, you just shook your come on, David Hasselhoff as the Beyonder, dude. That is money right there.
I think Dakota Johnson as Madam Web is an awesome idea. You don't So one thing I was kind of like, I knew a little bit about her, but not much from the comic books. But to drop her into the public right now, who probably knows nothing about Madame Web, except, again, the sweaties that pick up books. And even she's a deep cut for a lot of folks in Marvel. Having a somewhat origin story, I'm sure I'm going to get dirty looks, and I'm sorry for anybody out there that when I say this. Basically having a Captain Marvel-esque movie taking place back in time, 20 years back to before, Dakota's much younger than that, so 50 years back, and showing her young, and how did she become the Madame Web that we now are going to see her connect all the webs together. And they are talking about doing a Spider-Woman, and they, you know, there are going to be female-led characters out there. They're talking Spider-Woman. They're talking, shit, just do a blank on her name.
Silver Sable's one.
Black
Cat?
No, Black Cat. Black Cat's always been thrown around. No, there's one that's out there right now, and why can't I? Silk. Damn it.
Silk.
Yeah, Silk's in production right now. Have a Madame Web, and then have a Batwoman. What better way to, like, draw in? Yes, I know it was a wokeness, god damn it. You want female characters out there to have female representation so your girls will enjoy and buy more comic books so they can make more comic books for everybody. So have that, and have her starting that world up, and then have her be able to connect the Miles, the Venoms, just all of them. Shit, I'm drawing a blank on all the ones I know they're getting ready to drop.
You know, when this casting came out, the first thing I thought about was, like, maybe I didn't think of the origin story. That's a good idea. I just thought they put prosthetics on her, and just she's just a great actress.
They will get to that. Like, I bet you the final episode, our final scene, or a post credit scene will be her in the chair in the web.
I mean, reaching out
to Tom Holland, or God forbid, reaching out, or, you know, hopefully reaching out to Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, saying, "Hey, I need something from you."
You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Like she branches out to Toby, to Andrew, to Tom, to Tom Hardy, Venom. I mean,
leave the other Spider-Man out of it. Let's bring Andrew in. Let him have his
Silk, Miles.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Introducing her, having Silk, and like I said, I know Spider-Woman's out there, and having her be sort of like the Tony Stark of their world in a way of bringing everybody together. Not Tony Stark. Shield.
What are you thinking?
Sorry, Shield.
Oh, Nick Fury.
Yeah, have her being like kind of like the Nick Fury of the Spider-Verse, and bringing everybody together, and actually finally with that, she could be the tie-in for the Spider-Verse. To have that epic goosebump scene where all the spider people are together, and having that end game moment, but having it in the Spider-Verse, having all the, like we did with the Spider-Man, all three on top of the water tower looking down.
It's just a dope scene.
Yeah, getting goosebumps again. But Ooh. Having that in the Spider-Verse world, like, you know, like I've read in the books where somebody, you know, it is usually Madame Web who gets all of them together and gets them to jump across, you know, to have, you know, to visit, you know, the Superior Spider-Man or whichever Spider-Man they want to go, you know,
Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah, just have them all joining in. So yeah,
there, Spider-Noir. Come on, man. You got to get Nick in there.
Yeah, I mean, just to have them all there. For something, and I think that what better way of growing this property within Sony, you know, I mean, doing it right. They've gotten some help from Marvel and from Disney. Do it right and pick it up. Don't fall on your face and screw it up like Fox did.
Yeah, don't do that.
Fox had some great things going on, but they just...
Yeah, like they one good, one bad, and then two good, two bad.
No, they really had. I mean, like when you look at Fox, they had Days of Future Past going out. They had the new Fantastic Four movie. You had Deadpool coming out, and they were planning on doing the Gambit movie. Like literally, they were taking their shit seriously, and then they got scared and started pulling plugs and stopped the Gambit movie. And then you saw what happened with the second Fantastic Four series. It just all fell apart on them. And the same thing happened. You look at what happened to DC. Don't second guess yourself. Muscle in. Do exactly what Disney did. We're Disney. We're going to make this crap. People are going to come no matter what we put out. And they put out some stinkers, but we kept coming.
Yeah, yeah. They stuck to their plan. That's the thing. They had an Iron Man 2. They were like, we don't care. We're going to keep going. And they followed through. And they just didn't get it.
Hopefully, while Sony was working with Disney, they were taking notes and going, okay.
I hope so. Hopefully, Amy Pascal had a notepad. Like, okay, I can do that. I can do that. You know, just hopefully.
So we'll see what happens. So what do you think, I know I posted this a couple of days ago.
It's still there.
What?
No, is it still there? I'm looking at the page right now.
What? Oh, the thing I'm going to talk about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, which okay. one? You don't know. You're guessing at what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, I am guessing. So I'm wondering, okay. what is he going to do?
What did you think about, and I posted this, and I defended this guy for a little bit, and I still do, and to a point, but what did you think about Moonfall director Roland Emmerich, bashing, taking up stride with so many other awesome directors, but being very bitter about the Marvel DC, and then he threw Star Wars into the mix of that are ruining the movie industry.
This coming from the guy who did Independence Day, and Godzilla,
Stargate.
Stargate.
I mean, like I say, I love everything. I've loved everything that this guy has done.
He basically was making superhero movies before superhero movies were a thing. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Really? You're just mad because nobody wants to see your films now, dude. Come
yeah, because
on.
You're like, making because you're making an Armageddon slash Deep Impact crap knockoff, dude. You got lazy in your writing. Sorry, I like you said, you listed off all the movies. I was fans of all of those movies. I'm a fan of every single one of those original movies. No sequels. We won't talk about the sequels, but
woo, thank God.
All the things that Roland has done, I've just been a fan of creative. I mean, to do Stargate, to do, I'm not going to say Independence Day was creative. Independence Day was just a ripoff of V. But still, just to be able to do it and do the story and do the writing and everything on these amazing blockbuster movies, and then you release Moonfall and then complain about people that are being creative and taking risks and doing big movies. Yes, it was a risk 20 years ago when they started doing Iron Man. Yes, that was a big risk in doing those movies because a lot of times those movies failed and didn't do shit. But they are now. And, DC, same thing. DC's still trying to find their footing. Star Wars, it's still, very, divisive thing, but Star Wars has always been one of those big ones. But then you just go, oh, they're ruining the industry. No, they're just doing what you used to do. Just they took it up to another notch.
They're just doing it better.
Yeah,
they're connect. They're doing what you couldn't do. They're making an entire. They made an entire universe. You know, to me, when I first heard this thing, I think we heard it years back from the directors. I was like, okay, I get it, because a lot of them are formulaic. We have to agree. The
Marvel.
And I agree with
so
that.
Formulaic, yeah.
But you know what? After a while, it's just almost like bitter grapes. Mm-hmm. You know, this movie's, we're making so much money and your film is not, because it's kind of like when Scorsese did it and he was releasing The Irishman and then you had the great comment. He was like, yeah, but The Irishman is basically Casino, Goodfellas. He's doing the same thing over again, only with like special effects. I'm like, okay. Okay. Yeah, it's a little sour grapes.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and I was just upset. I was like, man, I was somebody I always like looked up to as a writer, that's like, man, you made some great movies and built some great worlds, and just to be sour grapes because, again, like if he was coming out with like Stargate 2 and it was failing for whatever reason because it was like going toe to toe against, two Marvel movies. Okay, I might go with you on that one, but when you're releasing something called Moonfall, and I have heard the dialogue on that movie is the worst thing ever. I haven't watched yet. I want to watch it because I do like the actors that are in it. I just want to see it. But I was like, man, you are so late to the Armageddon fit, movies and everything like that. It just seemed like it was way too late and just kind of weak.
Just sour grapes.
We've had so many other things fall from the sky. What's next? The moon.
The moon. Let's just do the moon. These guys won't guess the moon.
Even before I heard who wrote it and who was part of it, I was just like, this is going to be a shit movie. Then when I saw the name, I'm like, oh, no, not you, man.
Come on, man. Do you notice when they release these comments, it's right when one of their films is coming out?
Yes, because they know, oh, I made a stinker. I'm going to get my ass kicked right now.
So what do I do to save face? I'm going to blame the films, the most successful movie company or film studio out there right now.
Not just one. He went after two. He went after WB and Disney. But no, you don't do that. That's the problem, because what he just did is guaranteed other people aren't going to go watch that. If he hadn't said shit, he would have gotten more people to go. And then afterwards, after you get your closing week, you're out and you're getting ready to go to DVD, then you can go, hey, screw them. That's why I failed. No, you're failing now because you opened your mouth.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that the world's learning recently is your actions have consequences behind it. This is a consequence. You say something like that, I'm not going to go pay my money to go see it now. I'm just going to wait.
This freaking bitter director is just already like, "Oh, screw that! I'll just fucking rent it or something. Go to Redbox. I'm not gonna go to the theater now because you're all bitter about it, freaking Marvel and DC. Come on, man, just make a good movie then."
So I got a question for you. I had never heard of this in production. I don't know how it's gone under my radar. I'm on all the chat rooms and everything like that for this. Have you ever heard of the Alien television show coming on FX and Hulu?
No, I heard of the Predator one. I didn't hear about the Alien one.
And this is supposed to take place on Earth.
Which I think is a mistake.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I was like, well, yes and no, because we sort of had the Predator on Earth. Predator's always been on Earth, except for...
Predator's always been on Earth, man. Yeah, but the Alien on Earth is weird.
Yeah, because that was the one big thing, I think, was Alien 4... Like we have to stop it from going to Earth because if it hits Earth, it'll spread like crazy wildfire.
Yeah, it'll spread like wildfire. Yeah.
So I'm really interested in this.
I don't know. I think that series and the Predator series should be put to bed. To be honest, I think unless you come up with a really good idea and a different way of telling it, because to me, Alien's always been about isolation. It's always about the cold, dead corners of space. And if you watch the original Ridley Scott one, if you guys haven't, where the hell you been? But the horror of that movie is not even just the alien itself, but the stuff leading up to it. Like those dark corners, you hear a wrench sound, or you hear the cat. Like the cat in that movie is the smartest thing in the world. He sees what's going on, and the alien doesn't fuck with him because he's like, I ain't out of the way. But those moments where there's water dripping or a sound, and it's just all that. It's atmosphere. Yeah. Even in Aliens 2, it was more action packed, but still the colony was deserted because they wiped it all out.
Even as bad as you don't like that movie, even Alien 3, the isolation of being in a prison. I don't like that movie, but
it's a prison planet. Again, not a great film, but same theme. You're in a prison planet. You can't escape. There's no weapons.
Yeah.
There's no weapons on that planet. And you have this alien running roughshod. Alien 4 got a little stupid with the whole hybrid thing. But again, same thing. You're on a ship or colony. I don't know where the hell they were.
No, they were on a space station where there were a whole bunch of ships. They could have that one's off on its own little tangent. But yeah, the other ones were all very you're trapped on a. You're trapped in a in a place you can't get away from. So
what do we see in this series? Like they're going to be on Earth? Is it going to be them wiping out Earth?
It's saying in the distant future, so maybe it's a post-apocalyptic thing. I don't nothing. Again, I haven't heard anything about this. I just saw the poster and it came from an official source, and I'm like,
is there a release date on there?
Currently in development is all it says.
Okay, so probably next year.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah, nothing this year. But
I don't know. I mean, like I said, maybe some young hotshot writer came in, had a good pitch. He's like, "Hey, man, there's a different way to tell it, and maybe it'll be great." Maybe. But to me, like I just said, that is Alien to me. It's isolation, fear of what's around the corner.
Even Alien versus Predator, the very first one, where they were in the Antarctic. That one, that's kind of had that closed off feel. So I could go with that one as well.
But you gotta keep that feel. I'm just wondering, what the aliens gonna be walking around in broad daylight? Like, I don't know. It that sounds silly, but hey,
walking around with his pimp hat and his cane.
You know, with a pimp hat, hey, you can't see me, you can't recognize me. Like,
wasn't it a spoof on a show or a movie?
It was actually it was a skit on Saturday Night Live. It was Paul Reiser.
Okay,
he was replaying his character from Aliens, and he was called Alien and Me. And basically, Paul Reiser was married to an alien.
Okay, that's what it was. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. And it was the stupidest thing in the world, but it made me chuckle a little bit.
Yeah, but it's stuck in my head. So I got one for you. I know we're going to go a little long, but hey, you know what? We're doing this on a Friday night for a change, so we're all having fun.
Yeah.
So there is an announcement, a network announcement said on this past Thursday that they have officially given the green light for the pilot to the Winchesters. It says a 1-hour prequel to the flagship drama. So it's basically gonna They say it's going to propose series that tells the story of the Winchester boys' parents, John and Mary. So kind of going back to that flashback, I think in season 2 or 3, where we saw and we got introduced to the parents and the grandparent, you know, and the grandfather, and we see the deal that is being made. But again, my understanding is once the deal was made and she brought John back to life because of the yellow-eyed demon, life was normal. Like,
he doesn't know anything about hunting. Start, like, it's the Campbells. Like, if they would have done, like, an original series about the Campbells, like, they were the hunters. Like, if you saw in season 6, the grandfather, like, they were the hunters. The Winchesters weren't hunters. Like, John didn't hunt until Mary died. That's when he started writing the journal and everything. Yeah. That's why it's kind of weird for me, this prequel series is like, so, oh, well, it's how they met after he came back from the Navy. But then so you're going to ruin continuity from that episode you just said in season 4 where Azazel killed him and Mary made the deal. Hey, you know what? Well, you got to come back. And like, but their life was normal after that. Like, so what? He didn't hunt. She didn't hunt. She was having Dean. So that's like, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah. Well, according to this, the Winchesters, which will be executive produced by Eccles and his wife, is being billed as an epic untold love story of how John met Mary and how they put it all on the line to not only save their love, but the entire world. So yeah, again, the description of it alone adds more weight to like, there wasn't that way. He was just a ex-military guy, came back and opened up a mechanic shop.
Yeah, he was a mechanic. Like I said, he didn't get going until after she died. Like when, like literally his death sent him on the path.
Yeah.
To being the douchebag dad that he was, the militant dad. Like before that, when we see him as young John, he was a cool dude. Remember, he's buying the Impala. Hey man, Dean's like, hey man, you should get that car. And even the Campbell's like, I don't know about this John guy. He's like, hey, he's a sweet dude. He was a sweetheart. He wasn't a curmudgeon dick. That was later when he got older.
Yeah, he got older, lost his wife, and just, you know,
lost his wife,
she got weird. And don't blame him.
Then he became bitter, and then he trained his son. He trained his sons to be militant and the hunters. Like, that's why I like, they're gonna ruin continuity now.
Yeah,
they're gonna change a lot of stuff, and that's the thing that kind of bugs me. Even when we mentioned this before, because this news has been out for a while now, it's going direct series or pilot. You're changing everything now. You're ruining a series that was on for like 15 years, and you're going to add stuff that didn't happen. It's not going to make any sense to me, because to me, their love story was so good when it was told by Sam and Dean. And when he saw it in flashbacks, you could see, oh, yeah, you know, dad, man, he loved mom. And like, yeah, Sam, like, I didn't know mom that well, but he always talked about mom. Even those moments, you could tell how much John loved Mary, and then vice versa. Even when he came back. For one episode in season 14, like the look on her face when she finally sees John after all these years and he sees her and they broke down. I was like, yes, I got that.
Yeah.
I don't like, to me, adding this when they're kids, you're just adding stuff to the lore that never happened. You're just making stuff up. You're just carrying on that name. It's an IP.
Yeah. It's all they're doing. Yeah. They're just trying to get money off of the Winchester name.
And dude, you know me. I love Supernatural. I've rewatched that series hundreds of times. I might do a podcast maybe on one day.
I'm surprised there hasn't been yet. I told you we should have done one, but you keep dragging your feet.
I got to figure out how we're going
to
do it.
I'll talk to you about it later. I already told you how to do it.
I know. We have to re-go over that format,
if they would have gone back with the original prequel that they were originally going to do years ago, was Winchester, where it would be the story of the gun. And it's past.
Samuel Colt. Yes.
Yes. If they would have gone that route, that would have been awesome, because you can still continue on with this supernatural environment and have a period piece and make it so much fun instead of focusing on, like you said, a place where there is no story.
You could literally just carry that gun over from season to season. Like, you know, season 1 is in the Old West. Season 2 is like a different time period, but with that gun and the gun, what the gun went through, and it saw all these different types of demons and folklore. You could build it just about the gun alone and add, like you said, new characters that we never seen before.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe from the lore, like, hey, like, this is the first Wendigo. Or like, this is the first time an angel touched down. This is like a Beelzebub, another demon from hell. You could add lore and it would make sense. This Winchester one to me is a cash grab.
Yeah.
And I'll watch it, see how they do it. Like I said, you know, you never know what you're watching. Maybe it's going to be great. But to me, the idea on the surface, and I'll talk about something else, which is another idea, which is another pilot being ordered, which is another freaking travesty. But yeah, I don't want this, but I'll check it out.
Also guys, June 2nd, the Orville New Horizons. The trailer just dropped today, so make sure you guys do check that out.
Awesome trailer, by the way.
Amazing.
I've caught up on Orville. Great, too. Yeah. If you haven't watched Orville, dude, it's... I think it's the best new Star Trek out there.
A lot of folks are saying, yeah, because it does what I always want Star Trek to do, and I think that's what we're going to get because we are this year going to be getting Strange New Worlds, which will be the original stories of Pike in Number One. But we're going to see that. Where Orville was so great is it was a self-contained episodes every week. Yes, there was an overall going arc, but there was, you know, individual stories. Same thing the way Star Trek originally was. Every episode there was a standalone story and it opened and closed. And that's what we're missing. The rest of Star Trek right now is just always
arcs.
Arc, you know. I think if Strange New World goes in that direction, I hope that it will revitalize. And again, that's what, you know, kind of what, that's the main reason I always will call Orville the Star Trek of, you know, of this time, because that's really what it is. And that's why a lot of old Star Trek fans drift to that, because it is. Yes, they are woke. Don't think that, you know, it's because the other ones are woke. No, Orville is woke. If you ever watched any episode, they address a lot. So, but it's definitely something to definitely watch if you guys have not caught up to Orville. I think it's on Hulu right now, and you can get caught up, and it will be on Hulu as well, and I think Fox or FX Network. So make sure you guys get caught up on that, because I'm looking forward to it.
Looks good, dude. Looks very good.
So you got anything else? I know we got a little bit late, but there's a lot of stuff that went on when we spent like a good half of the show talking about.
Oh, man. They ordered another pilot along with the Winchesters, which I really wish they didn't order. It's stupid. But it's the Gotham Knights pilot ordering.
Oh, yeah.
Which it's going to get a pilot award at CW, and the freaking synopsis is just like, it just sounds so, I wish they would just do the games, and I wish it would just be like, I guess like the adopted son of Bruce Wayne. Okay, it's going to be a Robin. Okay, cool. But he's going to be teaching like the sons and daughters of criminals. I'm like, what? So what, like Clayface, Bane, Joker, they had kids? Riddler had a kid, like, and you found them all? Like, how do you know that? I mean, I guess you could do that.
That's the premises of that?
Yeah. Okay. That's the premise. Like, the adopted son of Bruce Wayne is out there because apparently Bruce Wayne is dead. He was killed by somebody. We don't know who. So it takes the adopted son of Batman to train all these supposed sons and daughters of Batman's famous rogue gallery to go out there and find out who killed him. That is the synopsis. Go ahead. I'll let you mull that over.
I am, and you're not going to like it. I could kind of see that work, except the you hate it, and I've always it's always a weak excuse. The Batman's just vanished or gone or dead, or you at least take something from the comic books. It's right after he got hit with a death rays from Darkseid. I mean, just
Darkseid. Why is so?
I could kind of get behind that idea that the children of the villains don't want to be like their parents, so they want to like come back and, you know, basically be like, if you remember in the biggest one, you know, the Dark Knight Returns, there were these Batman, you know, disciples in the comic book. So I could see that the villains become sons of Batman, and then they have to have somebody train them, which, you know, I would hope that's just my partial. It would be Dick Grayson, but I'd be completely fine if it was a Tim Drake. We haven't had a really good Tim Drake. Yeah,
the one on Titans was more annoying.
It wasn't really Tim Drake. I mean, it sort of started like a little bit of him, and then it went off like on a weird tangent.
It went to like a weird set. Yeah,
I mean, I think an older Tim, I think, would be really cool to see.
I wouldn't mind that. An older Tim, that'd be cool. Maybe Jason Todd.
Well, even Jason Todd would be better, because I was a villain at one time, and now I'm
That would make more sense.
That would definitely make more sense.
He comes from that world, like, hey, you know what? Don't do what I did.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to train you the right way that Bruce would do it. Like, and he's taking some of his old lessons, but some of his lessons being criminal.
Like I said, I could kind of see that show being interesting, but again, why go off in this weird? It almost sounds like, you know what? We were going to plan to do the Arrow thing, and that just like flopped. So we're going to pick it up and do this. Because that's literally what it sounds like. If I remember what the Arrowverse, the Arrow team thing, that show that they were going to do that they pulled the plug on, where
the sirens,
the sirens, yeah, That this almost sounds like that, just not sirens.
Yeah, it was the daughter of Oliver Queen, and she was going to lead like a new Black Canary and another.
Yeah, it's almost pretty much kind of sounds like the same idea. Like, hey, we're going to pull the plug on this, but we're going to do it this way instead. We're going to do a Batman one instead of an Arrow thing. So
another series about Batman with no Batman.
Exactly.
It's just like, you guys haven't learned your lessons from Batwoman yet. I mean, come on,
you just love getting that slapped in front of your face, don't you? Ooh, Batman slapped. What was that? Honestly, I thought it was going to be the sirens type of story. The only reason I say this is because of how the design for the show looked. It looked like Gotham Knights, which was a comic book series with all female characters. When I saw that logo, I was like, oh, they're going to go and do that instead of the female one they were going to do for Arrow. They're going to actually incorporate more Batman, since really Arrow ripped the fuck off of, you know, Batman so much. Let's just put it out there right off. We are Batman. We're going to steal Batman characters, but our stories, but we're Batman characters, so we deserve to do that, not Arrow.
Yeah, we got the logo on our chest, dude.
So that's what I thought it was when I saw the logo. I didn't really get a chance to read into it, but I don't know. I'll have to see more of it. Let me just get through the Batman first and deal with that change, and then I'll work on the rest.
There's too much bad stuff going on this year. I'm like, you gotta slow down a little bit, man. Slow down.
A little bat bukkake.
Almost bat. Yeah, it's too much bat bukkake. It's bad out of control, dude. Like, I was cool with the Affleck and the Keaton, okay, and the Pattinson, but now we're getting too much now.
How bad is it? Is it really bad?
It's too bad. It's very bad, dude. It's way too much bat. Way too much bat. Like, let me see Pattinson first.
Yeah, let's bring go that. From there.
I mean, of course, we're going to have another series of Batman is dead. Like, dude, come on. Why is he always dead? Why did he leave? Like, why is he always leaving and dying? Like, the world's greatest detective, an awesome hand-to-hand fighter. Like, he's
a horrible father. We've always known.
I'm out. By the way, I'm dead. So who shot him? Like, I don't know. It's very bizarre, but whatever.
All right, guys. Well, that is everything that I have. We've mulled everything over and talked about everything that's going to make Kane upset or Jeff upset tonight. So I feel my day and week has been accomplished.
Suicide Squad video game been delayed till 2023, which sucks.
Yeah, so sorry about that. I saw that and I was like, oh, it's going to hurt for him.
I was looking forward to that.
But all right, guys. Well, make sure you guys do check it out. This week we did release, or last week actually, we did release our midnight movie review of Inception. And this week we're dropping one of our favorite comedies. Ted is coming out.
Ted, man.
So definitely something to look forward to for that. Anything else you got coming up?
Check out Midnight Movies as always. We got good stuff coming on there. Baptism of Thrones is still on there, Living on the Archives, which will be coming back soon. And as always, from Mike to me to you, get to the asylum, and we will see you soon, kids.